us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I am a poor, miserable sinner. Confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and of the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men.
O give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love.
mighty and ever-living God, you have given exceedingly great and precious promises to those who trust in you. Grant us so firmly to believe in your Son, Jesus, that our faith may never be found wanting. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The reading of Holy Scripture for this, the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. The Old Testament reading from the 17th chapter of 1 Kings. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." And so he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "And bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went in and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, the Son of Man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them,
who keeps faith forever,
who executes justice for the oppressed,
who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets the prisoners free, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. The Lord will reign forever.
To all generations, praise the Lord.
epistle lesson according to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own, for then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 12th chapter.
Glory be to thee, Lord.
In his teaching, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury, and he watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came, and she put in 2 small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything that she had, and that all that she had to live on." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to thee,
Together we confess our holy Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Before I get started, a couple things. One is my voice is not like its usual mellifluous self, but I have a frog in my throat, so I hope you can listen carefully and we can get through this together. Last night I didn't have any voice at all, so at least I have a voice. Then, Dr. Nordling, and I teach at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, in Indiana. And it's my great privilege to be with you this weekend. I saw several of you at the conference yesterday. So I've been instructed to say three things. First of all, we appreciate your prayers for Concordia Theological Seminary. Secondly, we appreciate your encouragement of young people, both boys and girls and young men and women, to consider coming to the seminary, the women to prepare to be deaconesses, and the young men to consider being pastors in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And then thirdly, of course, we are very grateful for any financial assistance you may give. So with that in the way, let's get started. So the last two Sundays, we have been celebrating Reformation and All Saints observed. But those of you that have been Lutheran Christians for a while know that this is the season of the year in mid to late autumn for the pastor and congregational leaders to talk to you, church-going Christians, about stewardship. Now, I don't know what your custom is here at Lutheran Church of Our Savior, but many Lutheran congregations, as you know, observe a stewardship Sunday, or indeed a series of stewardship Sundays devoted to this purpose, as is the custom at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, where I've been a member for many years now. Much stewardship talk, as you know, has to do with money, or if not money, at least the time and talent Christians render to the Lord and to one another for the sake of the kingdom. And I'm sure you've heard this many, many times before. Indeed, many of the texts that are selected at this time of year seem suspiciously stewardship-oriented, beginning, for example, 3 weeks ago with a camel passing through the eyes of the needle, and the week before that with a rich young man. Then there was blind Bartimaeus, the cleansing of the temple, and the paying of taxes to Caesar, all occurring near the end of the gospel according to St. Mark. All these passages and more have been put to stewardship purposes. Now, I'm sorry to disappoint you today, but at least on the surface of things, it seems to be very much more of the same. Today is the denouncing of the scribes and the widow's offering in the appointed gospel for the 25th Sunday in Pentecost, Series B. In the Old Testament lesson, we have Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. I think some things can be said regarding the Old Testament and gospel lessons that show some remarkable correspondences. Both passages feature widows, and indeed poor, impoverished, and destitute widows at that. The widow at Zarephath was gathering sticks to prepare one last meal for herself and her son, so that they could die with a full stomach, apparently. Then Elijah pops in and says, "Give me a bit of water, and while you're at it, could you also throw in a crust of bread? I'm famished." The widow in the gospel reading throws in her last two lepta, which are coins totaling about 1/64th of a denarius. Not a lot, but Jesus calls it her whole livelihood, and as much as she was having. Then what? Was she to go away to starve to death like that Zarephathian widow? Various interpreters have put forward various answers to this question, obviously. For what it's worth, I don't believe that this poor widow possessed the same fatalistic outlook as the Zarephathian woman did. For one thing, Jesus summons his disciples to take a gander at her whilst she is throwing in her last coins, together with all those rich givers who were throwing in much. This means that she was a woman of faith, someone to be emulated by the disciples and by us. For she knew, if not by experience, at least by her reliance on God's promises, that there'd be two more lepta to contribute next time, together with all of the other benefits and blessings that God contributes to believers and to unbelievers out of his bountiful goodness. In this light, we might also consider the remarkableness of the sustenance of God's prior goodness provided to us sinners and indeed to all people. In the case of the Zarephathian woman, it was the jar of flour and the cruse of oil that was not used up during the drought, even though the widow was able to provide for herself and for her son and the prophet Elijah for many days, indeed until next it rained, which had been about 3 years. Talk about climate change. Something similar should be supposed in the case of the widow who kept giving her offering, even though she could not see at the time where the next offering would be coming from, let alone where her needs of body and livelihood would be met. And might that widow of Mark's gospel also have had a family attached to her, or at least a child? That much is not given to us, although certainly that could have been the case. Then there's us rich Americans, most of whom do not live quite hand to mouth, but some do live paycheck to paycheck. We might find ourselves wondering where it's all coming from, and how long it will last. In the Sermon on the Mount, I think it's safe to say that Matthew's Jesus makes light of these concerns. Look at the birds of the air, he says. They do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And don't worry about your clothes. Consider the lilies of the field, who neither toil nor spin. Yet not even Solomon in all his glory is arrayed as one of these. Will God not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Jesus says. I think Jesus is being ironic here, if not flat out funny. And yet there's an edge to that humor. If God has given us our salvation and faith in the death and resurrection of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, will he not give us absolutely everything else we fret over and worry about, such as our finances, such as who may or may not be the next president of the United States of America, nor anything else that cannot help but bother us? I think not. Here is what St. Paul says, rounding out one of his great rhetorical flourishes. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor powers, nor things present, nor coming things, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other act of creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39. So, Mark's widow is given us today as an example, as an emulation, but not perhaps an example that is symmetrical in every respect. For example, I don't think it can be said that as the widow threw in her last two lepta, so it is necessary for each one of us also to throw in absolutely every last dollar that we own, even if we're worth on paper many thousands of dollars or even millions of dollars, as some of you probably are. Let's be honest. I don't happen to believe that this is the point of today's gospel. For the widow in Mark's gospel was clearly destitute, just as many in other parts of the world so clearly are still today. But she was definitely a woman of great faith who could count on God's giving her to carry on, or to be content to die in that conviction should that be necessary. But the relative wealth that we have, along with everything else, is one of God's many providential gifts, such as one's height or weight, one's race, one's gender, one's family or lack thereof, one's intelligence, one's vocation, one's earnings, such as they are. And so it happens that much is given to one and not so much to someone else. Yet faith knows that our good God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has given all to us purely out of his fatherly goodness, and that life itself is a gift. Greed and selfishness get in the way, so that it is in God's word he sees fit to break us, even as he broke that rich young man several weeks ago who was told to sell all he had and give it to the poor and come and follow Jesus. You remember he was not able to do that. Our possessions, our attachments get in the way, so we can't pass through the eye of the needle. But the gospel is that where things are impossible for us, all things are possible with God. He has sent his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer and die for each one of us, so that we need not crawl away to die for ourselves, but rather to live for others. We were buried with Jesus, Paul writes, in our baptisms into his death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life, Romans 6, verse 4. Hence, no matter who we are or what we have, much or little, we are the Lord's and he is ours. We are in solidarity with that poor widow, and like her, we know that in the end, all will be taken from us, and we shall be ushered into heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord and him alone. You can't take it with you, but ours is not to fret, since God has given you heaven and everything else with Jesus, in whom you've been baptized and raised. Meanwhile, he's by ourself upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit, to cite that well-known Reformation hymn. We throw in our offerings to the Lord, not to justify ourselves, not to make a show, but with the poor widow, Christ has died for us sinners, so we are motivated to make our offerings to the Lord our whole life. Like that poor widow, so our offering has the potential of erring on the side of generousness, on the side of selflessness, to help others in the body of Christ who need us and what we bring. Therefore, we can begin to sing with joy and conviction that words of the stewardship hymn you may remember from your childhood. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us now pray for the whole people of God in Jesus Christ and for all people according to their needs. Remembering by name in our prayers today those suffering from medical infirmity, including Glenda Berge and Michael Bruno, we remember also homebound members of the congregation or those otherwise unable to attend the divine service here with us. Today we recall by name Dale and Fran Jenkins, and also Julie Ryan. And finally, we do recall today the Reverend Daniel Conrad and his family, and Mr. John Wolfe and his family, Lutheran Church of Our Savior supported missionaries in respective parts of the world. For these and others, let us pray. Heavenly Father, for the sake of your beloved Son and our Lord, Jesus Christ, who appeared once for all to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, hear our petitions, our supplications, and our thanksgivings that we now pray. For faith like that of the widow, who gave her last two coins, trusting that you would care for her every need, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy, that we receive our daily bread with thanksgiving and recognize our gracious God as him who gives freely to us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the firm conviction that despite our worst regrets, our great high priest, Jesus Christ, is interceding for us even now before the God the Father. And that on account of the same Jesus Christ, our sins, though many, have each and all been atoned for and forgiven with finality. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Reverend Daniel Conrad and family, and for Mr. John Wolfe and family, that our Lord would bless with much fruit their efforts as they work for the proclamation of the blessed gospel in their respective fields of his kingdom. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For trust in our God's promises and joy in our hearts, that we may give cheerfully and freely, even as we ourselves have received, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who now govern our land, that the Lord protect them and direct them, and for those who will govern, that they fulfill their vocations, their callings, their duties by punishing evil, promoting good, and serving the common welfare. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have served or now serve in the armed forces, that they may know the gratitude of a grateful nation, that they may know healing who have been ravaged in mind or body by combat and war, and that they may know the peace of Jesus Christ in their hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our dear sick or infirm, including Glenda and Michael, that they know patience of faith and healing. For those who are homebound or otherwise unable to attend, including Dale and Fran and Julie, that they wait upon him who lifts up those who are bowed down. For those despairing, depressed, or deeply conflicted in mind, that they may see the sunshine of Christ's hope intended for them. For the lonely, seeking longed-for Christian companionship, that they not lose heart but wait with eager expectation on our God, who can do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who approach the Holy Supper today to commune in the fellowship of this altar, that they may so approach repenting of their sins, trusting in Jesus as their Savior and in the words of his testament, and determined by help of the Holy Spirit to amend their sinful ways and live according to our Lord's will, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
And for us and for all with us who eagerly wait for Jesus to reappear and deliver us from the evils and trials of this age, to the endless glory, splendor, and vigor of life to come, that we be kept firm in holy hope Until that day, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. To the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
with you always.
Lord,
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.